Hey everybody, it's Luke.
And I'm Kurt.
And welcome back to The Breakdown.
Welcome here. Good to be here, man. It's Luke, I'm Luke, you're Luke, I'm Kurt.
Yes. Another week.
I know.
Daylight savings time.
Oh, man.
What I'm trying to struggle with, or okay. I'm trying to make sense of it, okay? So it is early in the morning.
Yeah.
But how come I could adjust to a 5 and 6 hour time change when I went on vacation, but I'm struggling with a 1 hour change here?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It's patterns. You had an anticipation. The kids just talked to me about this in the car. If you when you traveled, you expected to have a time difference, right?
Yes, I did.
Even though we live in the same place and have our entire lives, it still comes on us every single season. And we're like, oh, it's that time again.
Yeah.
To change the clocks back. So the kids were saying in the car this morning, Dad, if we just spent the entire week waking up an hour early, we would have been used to it. Or waking up an hour late, we would actually help ourselves adjust.
Well, see, I tried that. And
no way, you did.
It still
didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it has something to do with our brain looks for a certain frequency of light that helps trigger us to wake up.
Mm.
And so now it's kind of like it's thrown off all of a sudden because you've been adjusting to a certain, you know, frequency of light coming through your window to like trigger you to wake up.
Mm.
But yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I'm moving along.
I have two thoughts here. Number one, what is the real time? So I want to know. I'm sure somebody can answer that. Is it the current time that we're in, or was it the time in the fall and winter that we just came from? That's my first thought. My second thought is that there's always been this talk in the past 20 years of we're going to change it. We're going to get rid of daylight saving time, yada, yada. We've been talking about this probably longer than 20 years. Here's my theory. When everything moves, right? When everything moves beyond the analog clock that you can see on your microwave or your stove, when everything is literally programmed from the satellite, we won't even know when the time changes because your phone changes automatically.
Yep.
Your tablets change. Your computer changes. You just wake up. So I think we can actually hopefully get past this thing, and maybe because it turns at like 2:30 a.m., if unless you're up, you're not going to see it. But I was thinking about that. So those are my two thoughts. Thank you, Ben Franklin. Thank you for everything. Here we are. What's the real time, folks? I just want to know. Is it the springtime or the fall time? Do you know, Luke?
I think this is...
That's what I thought.
The real time.
This is the real time, and then we fool ourselves in the winter, right?
Right, because we want to have more... More
tell me,
daylight.
Tell me, because if you can explain it to me, what is it that I'm actually gaining? What am I doing by lying to myself for 5 months, you know? Oh, my goodness. This is great. Here we are. This is our probably most important thing to talk about today on The Breakdown, right?
Definitely. That's because everyone is living it. We're all living this.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. Well, listen, coming in on Sunday was just a really cool experience. I was excited because we knew Pastor Zach would be getting to Jezebel. Mm-hmm. It's the much anticipated, long awaited message. And I do want to say this, that I've heard a lot of messages on Jezebel. I've seen a lot of damage done to people, you know, from the teachings of Jezebel. And I have to say that I absolutely loved, appreciated, adored Pastor Zach's message on Sunday, because sometimes when Jezebel is being taught, people move into instantly demonizing one another.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You have a Jezebel spirit, right. Or this is Jezebel, or that's Jezebel. And we really cloud our thinking. And I thought that Pastor Zach's approach, and he said it, he actually said from the gate that if he was teaching in a different time or a different season,
he would have done it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was surprised.
He was.
Yeah.
So it was really good. At that point when he was sharing that, I knew this is going to be good, and this is something we're going to want to lean into.
Mm.
So I was just really grateful. I've been learning so much from Jehu.
Yeah. Oh, me too. And this story, I remember when I was a kid, like our parents would have us, like you had to read, your Bible every day, right?
Okay, yeah.
So we would have this time, like my mom's like, okay, you and your sisters, like go read a chapter in the Bible. And I always loved the Old Testament stories, like Kings and Chronicles, because that had all the exciting stuff.
Juicy.
So it's like, okay, I'm gonna go read my Bible, but I'm actually reading a story.
Yeah.
And this story is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, forget The Chosen. Make a series about Jehu.
Oh, wow.
Like, this would be awesome to watch.
Yeah, that's true. That is really true. You know, I mean, you know, even Pastor Zach was teaching on Sunday. He's like, this is why we have a kids ministry, because this is like one of the most rated R stories.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a fantastic story. Like, you picture her like getting thrown down and like the blood's on the wall, and then the dogs come and he drives over her, and it's great.
This is great.
It's a good story.
You're making me feel a lot better because you appreciate this story, and you are just, don't take this the wrong way, but you're not the type of person that I would have pegged enjoying the reality and the gruesome side of this story.
Oh, no. I would. This is the stuff I'd watch. Yeah.
You're making me feel a lot better.
Definitely.
I remember being a kid, and, you know, at that point, what we had was Jesus of Nazareth. We didn't have a lot of the other stuff that we have today. You know, that's a very interesting portrayal of Jesus. Doesn't blink his eyes, all these different things. And it's like a three and a half hour movie. And this is long before The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And I'm watching this film and I'm like, Mom, when are they going to crucify Jesus? When are they going to whip him? I just want to see it.
That's
and she's
that's
like,
great.
What is wrong with you? Jesus lived an entire life for 30 years plus before he went to the cross. And I'm like, but I need to see this moment. And I always felt so bad, you know, that that's what I wanted to see. But you're making me feel a lot better.
No, and I think like looking at this, like before we dive into it, big picture zoomed out, this is just the whole grand story of, you know, the move of God and then the attempts of Satan to try to undermine the move of God.
Absolutely.
And then what happens to Satan when he comes up against the move of God? Because he cannot win, and he gets thrown down. The
blood gets
on the wall, and he gets trampled underfoot.
So good.
So we're just going to be looking at a manifestation of that in this story.
Yeah.
But that is also the story that happens in our own lives.
Yeah. Hey, that's really good. I almost want to encourage everybody just to rewind. I don't know if we call it that anymore, but just like what Luke just said is really, really good. I mean, the foreshadowing and the prophetic image, the type and the shadow here,
yes,
that is of what Christ did with Satan. You just quoted,
I mean,
a good chunk of the New Testament right there. That is absolutely powerful. He is trampled underfoot. He is stripped of that authority, and he's been cast down. I mean,
Yes. Wow. Oh, yeah.
That sums it up. And so we are looking at this actual portrayal of what happens here with Jezebel. And I think one of the things that's really interesting is if we wonder, sometimes we can sympathize. If you think through Pastor Zach's message from the previous week, he talked about Ahaziah being in the wrong place at the wrong time because he was sympathizing with Joram. And if you look over here, you know, there are those sympathizers. People are like, well, doesn't Satan get another chance, you know, because he was misled? I don't know if you've talked to those people.
That's cringy.
Yeah. And what about this Jezebel? This just is so terrible. And the thing is, the Lord is very patient. He actually gives tons of opportunity. Now, Satan, he has no opportunity. Satan did not have a right to choose rebellion. Mm-hmm. Mankind was actually created with free will. Satan was not. He was an angel. He was Lucifer. His responsibility and duties were to the Lord to follow and do whatever he said as his messenger.
Yeah.
However, we were gifted a free will. So in our ability to choose, the Lord made a way for salvation.
Oh, yeah.
But here with Jezebel, I mean, she is just so filled with all this evil that this is the just reward. This is judgment.
Absolutely.
For her sin.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And if you go back to in the story of Ahab, like towards the end, like Ahab does humble himself before the Lord some.
Yeah.
And so the Lord relents some, like he says to Elijah, like, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me.
Mm.
So the Lord is looking for that reaction, but it doesn't happen for the whole bloodline.
It doesn't. And where else do you see this? Where people sometimes struggle with is Pharaoh. We look at Pharaoh and we're saying, but the scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, that was after Pharaoh hardened his heart. Mm-hmm. God is very patient, and he was just trying to communicate to Pharaoh just like he was here. Like, I'm God, and you're going to realize that.
Right.
You're not going to exalt yourself above who I am. And anywhere where somebody does or something does, he's going to see to it that it is cast down, like we see Jezebel is cast down here. But again, before we get into that, I know you're stirring over there. You got something brewing. I wanted to come into where we began on Sunday, because just the setup is so, it's very interesting to me. I don't even know how to calculate it and put it into words, but when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, number one. Number two, put paint on her eyes, put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through the window. And I feel like, we could have just taken 3 weeks right there for each one of those things. The painting of the eyes, the adorning of the head, and looking through the window. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful that Pastor Zach just spent some time talking about, you know, turning back to that allurement, to that seduction, which she was so successful in. And even highlighting, because we're reading these stories, and sometimes we can read so fast, we don't put together the chronology and the timeline of she's well advanced in her years at this point. You know, she's already had a son and a grandson.
Right.
So it's not like she may have the same allure, but she falls back on the seductive practices of like, I know what to do here. I know how
to win
here.
This is what she did.
This is what she did. Yeah. And even moving to the place of, you know, teasing out the concept of the adorning her head and coming with this illegitimate authority. And Pastor Zach was clear to say the best explanation of the Jezebel spirit that he had been given had come from Jackie. And Jackie Santos, who has been a prophet here at our church, talked about that this Jezebel spirit really is illegitimate authority.
Yeah.
And the kings are already dead, and Jezebel doesn't have a right to stand, and yet she's still trying to exalt herself. Again, we see this adornment of her head here. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, because if you're not familiar with Jezebel, you know, she was a pagan.
Yeah.
And Ahab married her. And with that, she brought in all the worship of Baal and Asherah. And that was her thing.
Yeah.
That was her thing. Mm-hmm. So she is all about this pagan worship. Mm-hmm. And then her heart was to eradicate all of the worship of Yahweh.
Yeah.
And that's where you get the whole story of Elijah. And we aren't going to go into that, but go read that, because that's where you really see how everything in her was to come in, eradicate the worship of Yahweh, and then raise up her own false gods.
Yeah.
And then you have the story of Naboth, which really characterizes her use of deceit and trickery, how her husband wants this vineyard. Naboth is not going to get rid of his family's inheritance. So what does she do? She takes her husband's ring and she's like, I'm going to act in your name and I'm going to get it for you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, and she does, like, she sets up this whole feast and then has Naboth, his name maligned, and then Ahab gets the vineyard.
Yeah.
And so this is her mode of operation, where it's, I can get what I want and nobody's going to say no to me.
Mm-hmm.
They might think they're in the right, but I can undermine them. And that's the character that's leading into this sort of exchange that's about to happen.
Yeah, and I think what we need to do is we need to take some inventory and stock on our own lives and say, okay, you know, I have multiple seasons of my life and I have constant stories where it's like, okay, anytime where I start to hear, I will defend myself or I deserve this.
Right.
Anytime I start moving into that, I start realizing, well, there's really only one who says that, and that's Satan.
Yes.
He's the one who says, I will exalt my kingdom. I will be like the Most High. So anywhere where I actually can, so even before we look externally, we need to take inventory on our own lives and say, where am I moving into, like, puffing myself up, exalting myself, trying to establish myself? That's a first place of, okay, Lord, correct me in that, because I'm not aligned with you in that. Any place that I'm looking to fight for my rights, because Paul, all the way in the New Testament, is telling us that we are not focused on fighting for our rights in this new bloodline, of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. In this new covenant, we are laying down our lives. We are esteeming others better than ourselves. We're not making it about us. So as we're looking at this here, this is why I'm bringing this up, because so often when Jezebel is taught, we can look externally and we can say, oh, this person and this person and this person. And well, let's just take inventory, ask the Lord where we might be entertaining any place of trying to, you know, exalt or exert a certain part of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So moving forward here, I the part I wanted to park on for a little bit is the fact that she's up there in that window, in that strong tower, and Pastor Zach made the communication that at this point, you know, the defenses would not permit a window at a lower level. So this is a high window, and she's looking down, and this is just like Satan. This is just like Satan to hurl these accusations. And if you were here first service, David Andrade, one of our elders, actually got up.
Yes.
This was actually a really, really cool before we ever got into the message. And again, this is one of the things that Luke and I like to bring us all back to, is from our prayer team who arrives early, to our elders, to people in the congregation who just may be getting a word, is the Holy Spirit will confirm the word, the worship, the things that are being brought forth. And long before Pastor Zach ever preached on first service, David got up and talked about how it's the enemy who would try to assail. It's but he can't stand against the truth of who God is. And it was just really cool. If it's recorded, we should go back and listen to it. But I know he used that term assail, assail, assail. And it's these accusations of Jezebel hurling down these accusations on Jehu and even calling him something that he's not, and trying to see, hey, will this stick? Mm-hmm. Will I be able to find a weak spot in you where I just need a little bit of agreement? I just need you to pause for a moment to see if I can trip you up.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so much in this interaction. I really want us to go through it slow.
Okay.
Because that's what stuck with me in first service too, was the tower. And so let's now put it into our own life, because so as believers, we are going in the strength of Jesus, and we are in the anointing of Jesus in our life. So we are in the the Jehu part of the story.
Correct.
Right.
That's
so that's our position.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan sees that, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to undermine what's going on. And, you know, he makes himself all seductive, and he comes in this place of illegitimate authority, setting himself up, and he just casts down all these accusations. And I think experientially, that's how it can feel like, where it's like, oh, I'm down here, but Satan is so big, and and the enemy's brought this huge thing up in my life. Well, the truth is, you're not going in your own strength. If you're going in your own strength, then because Satan is more powerful than you. He does know more. He is more cunning and crafty. But that's a deception because we don't go in our own strength.
Right.
We come in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
And the verse that came to me was Proverbs 18:10, where it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
So good.
The righteous runs into it and is safe.
Yes.
So if you are calling on the name of the Lord, you're living out the name of the Lord and his call on your life. You are also in a tower.
Yes.
It just may not feel like a physical tower, but spiritually, and that's the place that we live in, we are in a tower. So that's where our confidence comes in. It's not in my name, it's his name.
That's right.
So I don't engage the enemy through my name. It's in his name, in his power, in his might. And that's how David defeats Goliath.
That's so true. You know, I'm thinking there's so much that's kind of bursting out at me right now. And I love that you're bringing this up, because it's really critical. We do have to see ourselves positionally. We've talked about this before, and many great preachers have gone before us to teach these things, that we are not fighting from a place of trying to earn something. We're actually fighting and positionally standing in a place of victory.
Yes.
We're already in victory.
Yes.
And what we're doing is we're trying to keep our ground in that place of victory. Jesus says, and I'm looking for it right now. I don't know why it's, eluding me at the moment, but Jesus says in John, now is the judgment of the world. For now the ruler of this world will be cast down.
Yes.
And if I am lifted up, I will draw all to myself. Mm-hmm. So Jesus tells us that in his death, that he is actually drawing the judgment of God, the wrath of God. But in doing so, he's actually casting down Satan's ability to bring accusation and charge against us anymore.
Right, right. And it's Jesus's battle that is being fought. He's fighting it through you.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jehu's battle.
No.
He was anointed for the battle. It was assigned to him. And so he's just moving in the call of the Lord on his life.
Mm.
And that's the same thing for us. But Jesus does it in a very personal way where he's like, not only am I going to use you to eradicate the enemy, I'm eradicating the enemy in your own life.
Yes. Yes. This is so good. And we do have to, like personally park there for a little while, because what I want to tease out with us in our time left is this idea that we may feel like we're facing this big giant of Jezebel or these accusations, but if we get to the position of what you're talking about, then we can actually posture ourselves before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been wondering sometimes, well, how do I win in this battle? Well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Strong tower.
The righteous run to it and are safe. And I think sometimes Jezebel, what she'll do, and we see it with Elijah, is she will get you to wear yourself out. She will bring such a presence that she'll get you to wear yourself out so that you're tired.
Yes.
And what we need to do is run to that strong tower, the name of the Lord.
I think it's really important just to, I know we're not talking about Elijah, but his relationship with Jezebel, it encourages me a lot. Because I think when we feel tired and we feel stressed out by the work of the Lord and the enemy, it can feel like, am I weak? Am I sinning by feeling this way? Do I not have enough faith? And it's like, no, that's just part of the weakness of our flesh in this fight.
Yes.
If it happened for Elijah, it will happen for you too. And don't feel that you are far from God or that God has left you.
Yeah. Oh, Luke, that's so good. Yeah, we must be on the same meditation again recently. This is where I've been. And the other day when I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, when Elijah runs from Jezebel, what happens? Well, he's actually nourished with some spiritual food.
Yeah.
So what does that bring us to? It means that as we run to the strong tower, we may feel like, oh, I fled. I must be weak or whatever. We get back to that strong tower and we nourish on the spiritual food. Okay, what is the spiritual food? We read in Ephesians 6 that after all the armor is on, what are we supposed to do? Praying always in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we should be in the Spirit. We should be praying. We should be getting filled up. We should be calling on the name of Jesus. Like, it's not... I heard one great preacher say once, like, sometimes the best prayer is just, help!
Yes.
Help!
Yes.
Like, I don't necessarily know how to do this, Lord, but I'm leaning on you. And if I can, you know, deduce something in my human reasoning, it's probably not going to be the right way to go about this.
Yep.
So just really leaning into the Lord and trusting in him. And like you said, we're not necessarily going back to that Elijah story in that account, but coming to this place where Jezebel is hurling down these accusations on Jehu and even calling him Zimri. And I thought it was great that Pastor Zach kicked up that history there to say, this is who Zimri was. And this is what she was communicating. You think you're coming in the fierce, you know, move to overtake this kingdom, but it's going to last for the night and that's it, or the day and that's it. You're going to be gone by the time nighttime it comes. And that's what Satan loves to communicate to us.
Yes.
He loves to try to get us to have that fear of, like, you think you're so hot.
Yep. He's going
to
prophesy a different fate for you other than what the Lord has said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may think you're coming in hot, but you're going to be done by the time night falls.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was thinking about all week as we move into this for the past couple of days is my mind keeps going to two passages. 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul writes that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty before God for the pulling down of strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the casting down of arguments.
Yes.
I know we don't always go back to King James, but I love King James translation here because what it says is the casting down of imaginations.
Mm.
So if there was a spot, let's say that Jezebel, you know, is representing Satan in the accuser of the brethren in this story, in this account. Now, this is real. it's still a type and a shadow for us.
Yep.
So representing Satan, this is how he operates in our life today. He's trying to hurl down these accusations. And what he's doing is he's probing you.
Yep.
He's probing and looking for a weak spot. If Jehu had not had the confidence of the Lord, there could have been a weak spot for him to come into agreement with that false prophecy of Zimri.
Yes.
And it could have been exactly what the enemy needed. So for us, under the new covenant, this is where in our imagination, we have to cast down these imaginations that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God.
Yes. And that's why it's important that we have the truth of God in our life through his word.
Yeah.
And then also his, you know, his revealed vision for our life to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Pastor Zach, he went and told, you know, he went in second service, he told a story about, you know, like when he and Ashley were leading worship at a church and he felt a check in his spirit, to not have this woman pray over his wife, because just because someone prays over you doesn't mean that they're praying the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to check everything.
Yeah.
We have to check everything. And that's why it's so important that we know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan is going to try to present himself as an angel of light.
Yep.
He's going to present himself in a way that's attractive, that has, there's a who behind that. As Pastor Zach was saying, like, well, this person, they have experience.
Yes.
They know the Bible. Like, why shouldn't I believe them? They've been walking with the Lord for X amount of years. It's like, no, you have to check that with the word of God.
Yeah.
It is on you to know the word of God.
Yeah.
It is on you to have a prayer life with the Lord and a connection with him that you know what he's going to tell you. I forget who, I think it was someone in my greenhouse, but I'm not sure, but her mom had told her, God's not going to tell somebody else something that he wouldn't tell me.
Yeah, that's right.
About me.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
So it's important that we are so in lockstep with the vision of the Lord that anything we receive from people is just a confirmation.
Yeah. That's so good.
And even then, it's knowing your position in Christ so that anything that causes you to doubt that, well, that is not the Lord.
That's right. That's right. The second passage is so good, Luke. The second passage that was coming to me is Romans 8. It's like 30, 32 or 33. And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns?
Mm-hmm.
And as you're talking there, I'm having this memory of several years ago, an individual who had a prominent role in my life. As I was growing and developing in my life and my ministry, this individual just kind of looked at me and said, man, you are just too insecure. You're just too insecure. And that, it was kind of on the lines of the Lord moving me into a new place of ministry. And where I was beginning to take some ground. And when the individual said that to me, because there was that weakness in there, this is what the enemy's doing.
I know. And like, there's often a little bit of, oh yeah, I see that.
Yep.
Me too.
That's all I needed to hear. And it was confirmation of the lie that I had already been trying to fight up against in my own strength. And it devastated me.
Mm-hmm.
It devastated me. And in fact, it's just like the enemy. It actually drove me to never want to be involved in ministry again, because what it did was it confirmed the same life message that had been rehearsed by the enemy over me. You're just not good enough. You'll never be good enough. That was the nail in the coffin.
Yep.
And because of that weakness in me, and because this is where you see Jehu really operating from that place of victory. He already got the affirmation, which we would read verses earlier, you know, from the prophet and from the friends of the council. And if we have not settled in our hearts that the Lord really has given us this place of victory, the enemy will always try to probe and see, where's that weak spot? I'm going to hit that crack right there. And it's going to be, he's looking for that solid blow.
Mm-hmm.
But praise God, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again.
Amen.
I praise the Lord, you know, that in that time of weakness that God still restored me and brought me to a better place of knowing him. And I don't think that I would have the depth of knowing him the way that I do right now had I not gone through that. Because what I did when I heard that accusation is I went back to the Lord and said, God, is that what you say about me?
Yeah.
Is that your testimony of me? And it was a long time before I could hear clearly. It wasn't that the Lord wasn't saying it.
Yeah.
It was a long time before I would choose to accept that his testimony over me was different, was a different story.
Right, right. And now we're getting to the very best part of the story.
Yeah.
Because Jehu.
Jehu.
Oh, man. There's so many names in this. Jehu doesn't engage with Jezebel.
That's right.
And that is a very crucial part of this story for us to receive for ourselves.
That's right.
You do not engage with Satan. You don't have to.
That's right.
Because Satan's already done. Jesus has already done that.
Amen.
What does he say? He just says, is there anybody with me? And then it's throw her down.
Throw her down. We're not going to even entertain the lies of the enemy.
No.
Jesus said when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is the father of lies.
Yes.
So for us, the way this parallels in our new covenant relationship, did you have something else you were going to share there? Because I'm jumping right on
no,
this.
No, I was taking a sip of water.
Okay.
So.
I was like, dude, I'm so excited you're saying this. He doesn't entertain the lies of the enemy. And you know what? When we have these two parallel stories. We have Eve in the garden, right? And we see her. She starts reasoning with Satan. She starts rationalizing.
She has a dialogue.
Dialogue. Yep. Ding, 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 ding. We have the parallel of that with Jesus in the wilderness. And he doesn't have a discourse in human reasoning. He actually says, it is written. His only response to Satan that actually causes the enemy to flee is the truth of God's word.
Yes.
And even when there's a perversion and a twisting of God's word, that's what Satan was doing.
Yep.
In the wilderness, Jesus spoke the truth of God's word. And so for us under this new covenant, what we may see is we don't have to entertain the hurling accusations and lies of the enemy because they have no standing. They have no ground. And our ability to ignore and look past those and just speak the word, you know, as Jehu was saying, is there anybody up there? Okay, what's he doing? He's calling on that strong tower. We're going to call on that strong tower. Okay, the word of God says this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is who I really am.
Yeah. And you know, when we are, it's also a picture to me of when the enemy brings up accusations, it's bringing other people in to our fight.
Mm.
Where it's like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm hearing. Is there anybody with me?
That's good.
And then it is those people around us that are like, no, that's a lie.
Mm.
That's a lie. I know you're tempted to believe that because that was a true story. Zimri was a true story, a true instance of a king who rose up but was destroyed. You know, I know you're hearing that, but that is false.
Mm.
We are moving in the move of God now.
Yeah.
And she is illegitimate.
Yeah.
And she is going to be eradicated. And so it's important that we have people around us that can speak truth to us. Because sometimes, you know, I know like we're teaching it like very, very clear cut and that's how it is. But when you're in the fight,
oh, yeah,
there's a lot of emotion.
Sure.
Like,
is.
I'm sure Jehu had to think, do I respond to this or not?
Yeah.
And then he's like, no,
no.
So he's just like, is anybody with me?
Oh, my goodness. So when she gets cast down, you know, this is us. I love what you're communicating there. If we need to call in the reserves and say, hey, listen, I'm hearing this.
I think it's part of the situation. Like it has to be there.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Because we're not called to live in isolation.
No.
That's really good. You're bringing that up. So when she gets cast down and she falls, and you had brought up, you know, even the gruesome part about some of her blood splattering on the wall. And I think it's recorded there for a lot of purposes, you know. And then she gets trampled underfoot from the horse. And then
the dogs
come and eat all the flesh so that nothing remains, so that nothing could ever be said. Here is Jezebel. Let's bring that into our new covenant reality, like you were saying earlier, with Satan.
So
yeah, just go off because you got it, man. It's just so good. It's tasty.
Well, yeah, because the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down.
Yes.
Okay. So when he rises up in your life, you just say, no, he's been thrown down. I will not listen to what he is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I will listen to what is true about me and what God is doing in my life. And this is why it is so important that you practice gratitude, that you practice, you know, giving thanks and recounting. So the question here now is, well, what am I to memorialize?
Yeah.
You are to memorialize the work of God
in
your
life. That's right. That's right.
And then Pastor Zach brought up an excellent point of why, like, we should not memorialize our sin.
That's right.
Because why should I memorialize something that God has chosen to forget?
That's right.
Something that God has crushed and destroyed.
Amen. And even the power of Satan in our lives, like you said, you had quoted, you know, that the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And this is what Jesus, we see that, we get that in Revelation, but Jesus actually fulfills it in John 12:31 there, talking about that. And this is where we come back to Philippians 4:8. This is where we choose to think on these things, whatever things are true and just, pure, praiseworthy, righteous, good reports, and virtuous. That's what we're thinking on. We're not thinking on in our mind, in our imaginations, memorializing these things, because that's where Satan will still have access and a sticking point. No, we're thinking on the things that are true, pure, holy, just, praiseworthy, virtuous, and good reports. And we have to make that our focus.
Yes. Yes. Well, because in, I think it's Psalms 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west,
so far
has he removed our transgressions from us.
Yeah.
So if you have called on Jesus as your savior, that is true for you about every part of your life.
Yeah.
Your sin and then the sins that have been done to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tough part is the walking that out so that you can see that that is true.
Yeah.
Because Satan will try to get you to think that it is not true.
Right.
Or it's true as far as like you getting into heaven, but like, really? Like, God's removed all that? Like, that's still very real for you, isn't it? That struggle is very real for you, isn't it? So maybe God hasn't done that yet for you.
Mm.
And that is not, that's a lie.
That's right.
A lie from the enemy. And so this is where it's important that we're walking through those things with the Lord. And what you're doing is you're not like coming into freedom. The freedom is there. You are discovering just how much it is. And then the enemy's
so
like, oh man, they figured out that they are free.
Yes.
They figured out that Jesus set them free. So now I can't use that in their life anymore.
So good. It's so good. It's the whole Pilgrim's Progress picture. You might feel like you're in the cage, but the door's open.
Yes.
The door's open. We are free. That is the secret that Satan doesn't want us to know.
Mm-hmm.
That we are standing in this place of victory. Jesus,
correct.
Jesus said, it is finished. He said that while he was here on earth. And God actually is the one who says to Jesus, or, you know, you're seeing it typed in Psalm, sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus is seated because the work is done on earth, and then he's making his enemies his footstool. Mm-hmm. As far as we're concerned, the righteous, the holy, the redeemed, the work is done, and we can stand in our place of victory. But you are absolutely right. If we are coming into agreement with Satan, we're going to see those lies produced and reproduced in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is so good. This is really awesome. I just want to pray for us today. If you have any closing remarks or, okay. Father, we thank you so much that you have truly eradicated the authority of the enemy, Satan, the adversary. In fact, Revelation says that that day when we all see him, we will say, wait, this is the one who deceived the nations? This is the one? Lord, help us to realize that it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by your spirit, O Lord, that we would be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in us richly by faith, that we would know the length, the width, the depth, the height, and the breadth of what it means to be a child of God, the love of God. For it is that perfect love that casts out all fear in our lives. And so we thank you, Lord, as we may, like Luke said, as we may discover more of our stance in victory, help us to realize that we are positioned in victory right now. Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. So help us to catch this vision, this reality, this new covenant reality in Christ, to realize that the shedding of Christ's blood has completely wiped away sin. We are no longer separated from you. We are not enemies of God. We are positioned and seated with you in heavenly places. So, Lord, we thank you and we trust you and we glorify you. And, Lord, as you're kind of bringing things up in our life, help us to reach out to others and to check those things. Like, help us be that Jehu that rises up and then calls out, hey, this is what I'm hearing. You know, my greenhouse. Hey, this is what I'm hearing. Can you guys check me? Is this what the Lord is saying about me? So, Lord, help us to encourage and refine one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, everybody, I'm Luke.
And I'm Kurt.
That's The Breakdown.
We'll catch you next week.